It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, okay. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's warming up. 48 degrees on Peachtree. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. I want to go back to last week and build on what we talked about. There's still scariness looming in the air, and there's worry that the stock market is still waiting for the big one, and we're still down in effectively correction territory from the high back in May. So the market's still down a full 10% from where it peaked out, and this is a long time ago. So we've got to go back seven months or so, and then we find that Dow 18,300. Today, the numbers don't look all that good. 16,466, and we were down under the 16,000 level there for a while. But we are climbing our way back. But of course, there's always this worry that, well, aren't we just going to roll right back over? Isn't there economic calamity right ahead of us? And I've gone, so last week we started on a theme that I think is extremely important for the, really forever, let's call it for the next month or two or five. I don't know how long this will go, but I don't think it needs to end. And the theme there, what we've been talking about, I want to delineate the difference between companies that go out of business and investments that go away and investments that won't, that'll just continue to be here for probably the rest of our lives. And that is understanding and defining what quality is when it comes to investing. So how do you, in the midst of this storm and the midst of the Dow going down 500 points in a given day, you as an investor, your portfolio, whether it's $500,000 or $5 million, the law of large numbers kick in, and a down 1 or 2 or 3% day in the stock market hurts when you look at the screen, you look at your investments, you say, wow, that's a big number. It's great when it's green and it's going up, but it's difficult mentally and emotionally when it's going in the wrong direction. And that's what makes it so darn hard to be an investor over time. We all know that historically, hey, markets average 8 to 10%, actually even a little more than that. If you go all the way back to, if you look at a mountain chart from 1920s, if you invest in the 1920s before the Depression, you live through the Depression and the stock market crash. And if you were patient, you held on that entire time, you still averaged almost 10% a year. Those are huge numbers. But we all know that it doesn't happen methodically. It doesn't happen year after year after year. So that's what makes it so difficult. So we go through all that's happened in the worst stock market start in history, like we've seen in January 2016. We get scared about, we get nervous. We get scared to be invested, to stay invested. And then it goes back, and the question I get, Wes, well, how do you stay calm and how do you still have resolve? And John Bogle says, press on regardless, stay the course. How do you do that? You've got to have some underlying conviction and understanding of what you own. Pretty simple. You've got to understand that you own quality. And when we go through these periods of time, what gets me through that is that I have this underlying conviction and understanding that the companies that I am invested in aren't going to, they're not going away. They're not going away this year. They're not going away for a decade. They're probably not going away for my lifetime. They may exist in a different form. They may have a different name. They may be merged with someone else. But if they're really solid businesses doing business all over the world in a diversified way, they're not going anywhere. That's what gives me conviction to stay invested. And that's really what's behind all of this. The foundation of all of this is understanding and owning something that is quality. A quality stock that pays a dividend or a quality bond that pays the interest. And you know that over time, or you have a high level of conviction that they're not going away. Last week, we talked about some examples that on the end of the spectrum that didn't do well. So Blockbusters of the world, Lehman Brothers of the world, CIT Groups of the world, the old GM. These are companies that went bankrupt. So their stocks effectively went to zero. Their bonds didn't go necessarily completely to zero, but settled for 20 cents on the dollar. And that's not the place you want to be. So you've got to understand the difference between a company like that and an example like Procter & Gamble, General Electric, Johnson & Johnson, Microsoft, companies that are highly rated that have the three boxes that you need to check to own quality. And that's what we want to go through today. I've told you that we'll build on this theme. We'll talk a little bit more about this theme. And that's what we're going to do. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. This is not a dark and ominous Sunday morning. This is a show about understanding quality and how to understand that now I have these three things that we're going to go over today. So the three keys to quality today here at Money Matters that'll help me get through these inevitable swings of the market. The number in the studio, by the way, good morning, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And I'm going to go back, and I wrote about this for my column in the AJC that'll be out on Tuesday in the living section. And it's really about how to hold steady when the market does this roller coaster, when the market swings, how do you hold steady? And I go back to these books I used to read, or I guess I read them, but my parents read them to me. I was kind of in that eight to 10 years old. And they're not the most complicated books in the world. So it's not like reading a Harry Potter book if you're a little kid, but it's the theme of these books is what's important. So it's Value Tales. I think there were 25 or 30 of these books that profiled some historical successful person and emphasize their one personality trait that made them successful. So, and I'm revisiting with my kids now. So I've got little kids and I'm reading them these value tales. So it's Winston Churchill, The Value of Leadership, and Abraham Lincoln, The Value of Respect. And we were reading one this past week. It was the Value of Humor, which profiled Will Rogers. And it talked about how he was really in his prime when we as a country were going through the Great Depression. So we had this, obviously this very difficult period of time. And he then was kind of one of the original humorists. I guess really he was one of the original stand-up comedians, but he was beyond that. He was a writer and he was a radio personality back when people gathered around the radio in America and effectively a comedian. A comedian of our early days. And people connected with him in America because it was a rough time. So the Great Depression made the Great Financial Crisis look like a birthday party. And the next morning, driving my kids to school, which is kind of a highlight of my day, is taking my two older boys to elementary school. Ben asked me, "Hey, Dad, what's the Depression? What's the Great Depression?" And I explained, really, look, it was a really tough period of time in America where one out of every four people didn't even have a job. It was a really rough time. Stock market crashed. People were out of work. It was a really, really tough time in our history. And we've gone through something, a mini version of that back in 7, 8, 9. So 2007, 8, 9, we went through our own great financial crisis. Wasn't as bad as the Depression, but it was still really difficult. Unemployment went to 10, 11%. The U6 rate, which is the underemployment rate, went to, gosh, almost 20% here in America. So those seeds of worry are still with us today. It's only been 8 years, 9 years since then. And we are in that same period of time where it's still close enough that we still have those seeds of worry. And the world's still scary. It's no less scary today. Oil has finally stabilized a little bit this week, but doesn't mean it's going to continue to stabilize, meaning it's crashed from 100 down to under 30. It's a little over 30 today. So that's crushed jobs in the economy if you're in the energy business, which is a big chunk of our economy, almost 10%. China's slowing down. We've got worries in the Middle East like we always do, but they're probably worse today than they've ever been. North Korea is testing H-bombs, for God's sakes. And then we're in the middle of this new election that is, I wouldn't say it's overly comforting to go through the election cycle that we're in today. There's a lot of angst about this. So it goes back to how do you remain calm in the midst of all things, all of the scariness in the world that we live in today? And the answer goes back to, again, I know that I own quality stocks and bonds. They produce income, and it's that simple. But what does that really mean? Here are these three items I want to talk about today. I'm going to give you examples of this, but here are the main three that I wrote about in my AJC column coming out on Tuesday. Number one, a company has to have a diversified income stream. A big income stream isn't enough. It's got to be that income or that revenue stream has to be coming from a lot of different places, a lot of different industries. A company cannot be a one-trick pony. So multiple lines of business selling to many different industries. Number two, a company can't have borrowed too much. So debt, every scenario of companies that have got high profile companies that have gone bust in the last 10, 20, 30 years, all of them have borrowed too much money. It's that simple. Now, a Wall Street analyst is going to call this low serviceable net debt. I just say, look, they can't have borrowed too much. It just means they have no problem paying their bills and paying the interest on any sort of debt that they do have. And just because you have debt as a company doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Extraordinarily stable companies still have some debt very often. It's extremely serviceable though. And number three, they have to consistently make a profit. Now again, they're on the balance sheet or on the income statement, you're gonna see things like net income, free cash flow. There's several ways to measure how profitable a company is. Operating margins, net margins. But bottom line, if they make something that costs $10 and they sell it for $20, that's the kind of company that we need to own. And it doesn't take a great recession for a company to get plowed over. And Blockbuster is an example of that. A one-trick pony company. We talked about it last week, but today I'll tell you a little bit about their debt story and how they crumbled so quickly. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters here on Sunday morning. 19 minutes past the hour, straight ahead news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I don't know what happened to the music there, but it just stopped and I started. So we're going back to this theme. We talked about what are the three traits a company has to have in order for them to be considered quality so that you feel calm about it. You feel okay about it, even though we go through these periods of time where the market's rough. Number one, they have to have a very diversified way they bring in revenue. So it's not a one-trick pony. Number two, they can't have borrowed too much or else they'll topple over with leverage like we've seen almost in every bankruptcy case over the last 20 years, really forever. Three, consistently make a profit. So there has to be significant margin in what they do as a business. Now, let's go back to a one trick pony example, Blockbuster, a company that borrowed way too much money. If you go back to late 2004, their total market value was around $1 billion. They had a debt level back then of $1.3 billion. So their whole market capitalization as a company, you sold every share of stock in the open market, it was worth $1 billion, and they had $1.3 billion they owed in debt. By 2010, that stock had essentially gone to zero. And today, almost all 9,000 Blockbuster stores are gone. I was looking at the Wikipedia page the other day. I thought they were all closed, but evidently there's 50 of them, or 51 of them scattered around the world, or scattered around America. So the antithesis of that, and this is an example we've used in the past. I've used Procter & Gamble as an example, but I'll use a couple of them today. So P&G revenue is looking like, let's call it $75 to $85 billion this year, next year. And they've gone from, and their revenue is actually kind of flat to down, not because they're slowing down as a company, it's because they're shedding brands. So they're going from 180 brands down to 80. So they're getting rid of a lot of low margin business. Today, those 80 brands are sold in 120 or 180 countries. 65% of that outside of the United States. So they're not a one-trick pony, and they're not selling to one area, and they're not selling to one type of consumer. They've got hair care and personal care and grooming care and health care and fabric care and baby and feminine care. And they have a net income of almost $12 billion a year. They can cover their debt 21 times with their cash flow every year. So the cash flow required to service their debt covers it by 20 times in any given year. And they pay, by the way, about a 3.4% dividend. We're going to go over a couple other examples of companies like this that meet these criteria that give me the resolve that I can be calm during these market storms. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Yes, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're discussing, how do you know that you own quality stuff? Doomsday commercials, doomsday newsletters, you're going to get just bombarded with it. It happens today more than I think it's ever happened. I'm inundated with bad news. Seeking Alpha, Zero Hedge. You want to be scared about the economy? Go read Zero Hedge as a whole entire website that does story after story about how terrible things are in the world. Every single story is about the coming apocalypse with a lot of economic data. So there's a lot of legitimacy to the stories and the economic numbers. And then it's how you look at those economic numbers. How do you parse the consumer sentiment numbers, which, by the way, this week, even though we've gone through this ridiculously bad stock market at the beginning of this year, consumer sentiment numbers are close to an all-time high. Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index rose to 98 in January. So, and that's a scale where 100 is fantastic. So that's a three-month high. People in the survey, these surveys ask all these questions about, hey, what do you think about your economic future? Do you think you'll get a raise in the next 6 months? Do you think you'll get laid off in the next 6 months? Do you think you'll get a raise over the next year? Do you not think you'll get a raise? So there's all these questions about your outlook about the future, and then they aggregate it into a survey, and you get and effectively there's a score, and it's trackable. And right now, consumer confidence it's actually really high. Part of that's probably because of low gas prices. And the other part of it is that we haven't had huge wage gains for a long time, and workers are starting to feel, in fact, double the amount of workers think they'll get a raise this year than will not. So interesting that, and that's just one piece of economic data. So we're going back to what are the data points behind companies? I want to own a company, or really, and I needed to get to this point, a basket of companies, not just one, General Electric or Johnson & Johnson or Microsoft, and that's fine too. But if you own a basket of 20 or 30 or 40 of these, imagine now the extra layer of diversification on that, giving you the resolve to be able to get through difficult periods of time in the market. And these are all the things we need to do and look through all the bad news most of the bad news, because most of the bad news is sensational and it's there to sell you newsletters or products that make you feel safe when in reality, they're leading with fear. And that's not what I want. That's not what investors do. Not that that's wrong, and not that everybody is suited to be an investor, period. It's just that if you are an investor, you've got to look through and understand where this data, what the data in the article you're reading is really trying to point to. 404-872-0750, the number here in the studio. You can reach me here, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to the phones here. Kim joins us on the line. Kim, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Well, this sort of piggybacks on what you're talking about right now. I know what a price-to-earnings ratio is, but where can I go to find maybe like a little tutorial that will tell me about all these numbers I'm reading and how to read one of those? Is it a quarterly statement, or if I'm just looking at, something online, where can I go to just find out how to read all those numbers and what they mean?
So data on big companies or really anything publicly traded is very available. And I think that's actually part of how it becomes this vastness of data is then multiplied so many times because there's so many areas or services you can get that data. And they don't report all the data the same way. So for instance, if you want to look up debt numbers, Value Line is a wonderful service. Now, but Value Line doesn't necessarily give you the hard numbers. They do their own crunching and they have their own metrics. And so they do a little bit of the work for you. I think one of the best, quickest ways to understand a company is what ValueLine will do for you. So you subscribe to ValueLine. It's not overly expensive. And you can pull up company by company and just look at a one page. They still, in the world of too much data, I like ValueLine because they still do it on one, literally one 8x11 piece of paper, PDF. You pull it up on your computer. Now it's tons and tons of numbers and it's printed with probably a number 3 font, but it puts it all in one place. So that's a really good place to start, Kim. The other thought here is that, yes, you can always look at the 10Q or the 10K, which are really just quarterly reports or annual reports from a company. And you could, those are the numbers ultimately that they're publishing that they're tied to. So they've got to be accurate or they get in trouble. ValueLine's another area to look at this. And I think a simple version of this is their one-page PDF. And then you can, and then there's tons of other services. So Bloomberg is probably the granddaddy of all data. And that's really expensive. That's usually for investment advisory firms. I pay several different research companies. The Ned Davis Research Group is another one. And then even Yahoo Finance is a really good way to, is a really easy place to find financials on big companies. So, you know, without getting into the weeds here on Money Matters on a Sunday morning, any company that's publicly traded, you go to Yahoo Finance, you type in the ticker symbol at the top, and on the left-hand side, there's a bunch of menu items, and one of them is financials at the bottom. There's an income statement, the balance sheet, and cash flow. That's just three areas. And the income statement, and I'm looking at, for the example we used earlier, Procter & Gamble, it shows you right in the middle what they, it's interest expense, how much they pay on their debt. How serviceable is that number? If it's a gigantic number relative to the revenue, that's not a good sign. If it's easily manageable, then you can start to get a higher level of comfort with this company. These companies are no, really, if you think about, they're no different than your own family. So if you think about, or any family you might know, if you see a double income family, let's say you've got the wife is a OB doctor, delivers babies for a living, pretty long-term consistent job to have, pretty high paying. Husband is an accountant, CPA, big firm, let's say. Taxes aren't going away, babies aren't going away. So you've got a nice long-term stretch of revenue stream coming from two very different places that are, hey, by the way, not going away. Then they have this high income, and let's say they make $500,000 a year, and they live in a $350,000 house. They have no mortgage, and they have a small mortgage, 100 grand left to pay. It's $2,000 a month. And then they have $1 million in savings. Think about that financial situation of that couple. Something dramatically bad could happen, and eventually they could go bankrupt or lose the house. But that's very, very unlikely because they're in a very strong financial position in a lot of different ways. They check all those boxes. If they were a company, they'd have diversified income stream, they haven't borrowed too much, and they consistently make a profit, meaning that they have this income stream of net income, so they have dollars left over after they pay all their bills. Versus the stories you hear where you've got a couple that maybe one person's working, they're making $100,000 a year in a risky industry, they have $1 million house, zero savings, the industry goes away or changes, the income goes to zero, within 3 months the house is taken back from the bank. That's the that example would be a company like we talked about, like Blockbuster, like a company that just has a one-trick pony that ends up being over-leveraged, like Lehman Brothers, which was a $700 billion bankruptcy. Washington Mutual, $327 billion in assets. WorldCom, the old GM, CIT Group. And what you see with these companies and all these examples of calamities is that they were, to some extent, leveraged to one particular area. Let's say it was mortgages or housing. And then they took on a whole lot of debt relative to what they bring in. Lehman Brothers was leverage 50 to 1. So $100,000 income, $15 million house. Just imagine that. Eventually there's going to be a problem. And And they toppled over. And that, those are examples of, at, there were periods of time where those stocks looked great when their underlying sliver of what they did was wonderful. And then they ran into a soft, to a rough patch, like the great financial crisis that we went through in 07, 8, 9, and they just went away. These companies are gone. They went away. And that's what you need to avoid. And you can do that by understanding that everything you own, if you don't want to have any worry when we go through these periods of time like we've just gone through in January of 2016, which is a rough market, as long as you own these companies that check those boxes, then you should be able to have the resolve to remain calm and know that, hey, it's okay that these prices will fluctuate up and down 10, 15, even 20%, because that's that emotional layer of froth on the market that's always there. Let's go to another example, General Electric. Talk about a company that gets income from a lot of different places. So this is they're known as a diversified industrial conglomerate. So they still do financing, and they're selling a lot of that financing off. But they sell to, think about all these different industries. They sell to aeronautics, so the aircraft engines, they build them, they sell them. Power generation, so they sell to utility companies, so that's not going anywhere. They sell into the oil and gas part of the economy, so they make production equipment. Hey, by the way, that's probably an area that's not doing well for them right now. But hey, what's the opposite? What's the antithesis right now of oil? Well, who relies most heavily on oil? Airlines. So for every drop in, so every piece of, every pain point for these oil companies is actually a good thing for the airlines. Delta is going to save $3 billion. They're going to net out $3 billion this year extra because of fuel costs going down. We're going back to GE, household appliances. They have the huge consumer division. By the way, that was going to get sold off and looks like no longer that division is getting sold off. Medical imaging, so they're in healthcare. Consumer and business financing. And by the way, they sell in 175 different countries. 175 different countries. So they're doing $130 billion in revenue, and they have they net out about $13 billion a year. So their operating margin is 25% for General Electric. And then net margins of 12% on $30 billion in any given year. So think about the sustainability of a company like that. It doesn't mean the stock price can't go up and down a lot. In fact, GE is an example because they had a pretty heavy finance division that was leveraged, got hit pretty hard in the great financial crisis. But all those other areas helped them get through a really difficult time in the economy. Now they're a leaner, meaner, smarter company for it. But these are examples of companies they're bringing in revenue from so many different ways. You can cut off one or two or three or five of them, and they still survive and they still can continue on. And I'm not saying you rush out and buy any of these companies. I'm not saying you have to own any of these in particular. These are just great examples of companies that meet those quality benchmarks that we're talking about. And those quality benchmarks are what can give you, should be able to give you, if you're an investor and you understand all the other parameters and the risk-reward relationship and being an investor, gives you the resolve to continue on. And despite times like we've gone through in January 2016, rough market to start the year. But we're not investing for a month or a quarter or even a year. We're in this for 10 and 20 years. Hey, you're listening to Money Matters, by the way. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, to take your calls and questions. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Hey, it's crunch time, by the way, in the campaign. You know what tomorrow is. WSB is going to have in-depth coverage of Iowa Monday and Tuesday. Of course, our main man, Jamie Dupree, behind the scenes, all-day coverage of Iowa. Monday, Tuesday, so of course we need to be tuning in. Things are really heating up. A cover of The Economist, this is interesting, the cover of The Economist, and they have one of the most wonderful artists that does their stuff, is a boxing ring with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in the ring together. and they're ready to square off. So the Economist is already, Ryan, what's the headline on that? I don't even remember what it says, but it's just, it's one of the best illustrations I've seen in a long time. And of course, Hillary looks just, I mean, it is not a flattering caricature, if you will.
The title is The Brawl Begins, America's Presidential Primaries.
There it is. So The Economist is already calling this. It's already calling Trump Hillary, and Iowa hasn't even happened yet. I don't know what their track record is, by the way. Economists, usually pretty smart people, but even the smartest of us all, I think Scott Maxim just saw it. He just looked it up. It is hilarious. We'll have to, you know what? We'll put it on Facebook. Can we put a photo on Facebook? Go to Wes Moss Money Matters on the Facebook page. We'll put the image of Trump versus Hillary in the ring together. It's a little scary. Again, this first decent week we've had for all of 2016 in the market. Market up on the week 2.3%, Dow up 1 point, on the week Dow and the S&P up about 1.75. But still down 6.5% over the last month for the Dow and about the same for the S&P, and down roughly 10% since the high May of 2015. We've been talking about what defines quality. So it's important because we need to have the conviction that what we own as investors, those companies aren't going away anytime soon, not in our lifetime. That's what gives us conviction to be able to stay the course and press on regardless, like John Bogle from Vanguard tells us to do, even when things get a little bit rocky and scary like they have been so far. More of all of this and your phone calls in the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. Straight ahead, news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.